Have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 12, and we are in at the end of verse 10 this morning, kind of finalizing this second component to our receiving the instruction of wisdom, the second major feature of godly love being loving kindness. And we have on our board here the three areas or aspects of godliness that every one of our components has. Every component will have thinking, living, and labor involved in it. And that what I was wanting to illustrate with this is just simply showing you that there's a natural outgrowth or a natural furtherance to each one of those aspects of the thinking, living, and labor that we were taught and went through in godly selfless love and are now going through in godly loving kindness. And the natural furtherance to the thinking of selflessness is the kind thinking that abhors that which is evil, cleaves to that which is good. The living, when we see one another as members of one body in Christ and members of another, with these magnificent body attributes of conduct and behavior, where we recognize one another as useful, want to cooperate with them, serve and look out for the welfare of them and for the assembly, that has a natural furtherance of the family bond that is described in the conduct and behavior we have with kindness, of being kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, as verse 10 says there. And that's a furtherance to that issue of being the members of one body. But what we're after and interested here is the labor aspect, and how that coming out of being told immediately that we can go to work in our Father's business in the local assembly in one of these three office areas. And there was more than that, but I'm just putting the practical need offices on the board. The edificational offices are already met in this assembly by me and the deacons. But every one of you can function and find yourself in one or more of either giving and giving with simplicity, ruling and doing it with diligence, or showing mercy with cheerfulness. But then there's a furtherance to that that kindness has, where you are going to, in honor, prefer one another. And as I said last time, and we kind of crossed the line from being able to just talk about it and describe it to getting down to exactly how will we be laboring with one another here in Triangle Bible Church in our local assembly as we, in honor, prefer one another. And that's really the bestowing of honor. And you, by now, with the sessions that we've had on all of this, you understand what the honor is. It's not a virtue that we're after here, the virtue or characteristic of honor. It's an act. It's the act of honoring, and therefore bestowing honor, preferring that honor go to another and not to yourself. And that itself could only be done when selflessness is intact. And once that's done, you're going to seek out opportunities in the assembly where you can promote growth and development and encouragement and all of those things that are necessary to develop the esprit de corps, the spirit of the body, to be able to not only have individuals being edified within it, but that the entire body as a whole is being grown, is being strengthened, is getting to a position where it can take on more responsibility, because there is function, aspect, operations, and business that your Father has with us as a whole assembly as much as He does with us individually within the assembly. And we've gotten our eyes just starting to crack open to a little bit of that when we talked about it on Wednesday night. But now we're wanting to nail down in greater appreciation of, and maybe I'm going to help you more here than I need to be able to think about how our labor with one another will be in honor, preferring one another. And we said at the end of our last lesson that since we're not involved in this assembly in giving out trophies or awarding medals or certificates or anything along those lines, heavens, we don't even give out membership certificates. I used to do that. I've done it. You buy them at the store. You get your church membership and you give them one. It leaves a little ticket in there so that you can mark that down. We keep a list of members, but you don't get anything as far as a certificate goes or anything along those lines. You just get membership to be able to vote and conduct the business in the assembly. And but what we're after is that we're not in the business of giving awards out. So if you're going to in honor prefer one another, it's largely going to be a verbal act. You're going to have to communicate with one another, and you're going to have to tell one another some things. I said largely because there is some room, since you're talking about like an office of ruling, where actual promotion could take place, where actual moving someone into a forward position can take place. But what I want to focus upon is that verbal act of encouraging, recognizing, commending, all of which are huge issues to a body, and those have enormous benefits to a body. So what's going to happen when you choose out of loving kindness to bestow honor and see to it that honor is bestowed upon one another, upon other saints within the assembly who are doing, this is what you have to keep in mind. You're going to bestow honor, preferring one another, to those who are doing what verses 6, 7, and 8 say. This is a natural furtherance of that. So if that's not going on, this means nothing. So this is all of these three issues on this side of the board are all furtherances of that. We're not just talking about the average person, or we're talking about just, we're talking about what happens to the core of the body. And the core of this body understands and appreciates the reason we're here. You know, you've known this for almost 20 years now, that I am not an entertainer. I'm not here to entertain you. You've known for a long time that if you walk into this assembly, you're not going to get a large choir singing, 15 stanzas of Just As I Am at the end of it, running out of the words and then humming it for five or six stanzas until somebody comes up the aisle. You know why, you know when you walk in this door that you're going to get nothing but the teaching of the Word of God, and that what we're concerned with here is our own sonship education and edification. All right? So when we are now going to, as sons, not as just your average run-of-the-mill Christian, not that there's anything wrong with being a Christian, that's great, but the vast majority of Christians are not operating as sons whatsoever. We're talking about sons. This is an intelligent thing. This isn't the stupid, unintelligent way in which most people in churches today try to use honor as leverage. And if you've never been in many churches, you don't know what I'm talking about. But most of the time, when somebody is honoring someone else, they've got something else up their sleeve. In other words, the politics is palpable in most churches. And it's really hilarious, because where I came from in Indiana, all the churches around me were involved in this kind of thing, and I used to laugh at them because they were about as small as we are. What are they vying for? You know, power in some little group in the church that consists of three people? Are you kidding me? You know, but this goes on from a small level to a large level. What we're talking about is an intelligent son who looks back at what was accomplished here with this labor aspect, and now you've got the members of the body functioning in giving with simplicity, in ruling with diligence, in showing mercy with cheerfulness, and the furtherance is to prefer honor upon those who are right there doing that. That's your desire now, with loving kindness toward them, to express it, to labor with it. The expression of it may only come out in that family bond, but the actual laborious action of it is going to be when you come along and you, with loving kindness now, are going to bestow honor upon saints who are doing what verses 6, 7, and 8 taught them to do in the labor they've been doing in this assembly. When other saints are properly carrying out that office that they've committed to, They've committed, they've made a choice, a decision to carry out that office, giving with simplicity, ruling with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness in accordance with how they should carry out that office. And then you choose, it's your sonship decision to bestow honor upon them and actually see to it. You're going to see to it that honor is bestowed upon them when they're functioning in those offices. They're meeting the practical needs of this local assembly. And what you'll actually be doing is verbally making mention to them. You're going to tell them how appreciative you are that they're occupying that office. I don't even do that enough in this assembly. Almost everyone in this assembly can find themselves especially in the giving aspect. And it's not just giving with your finances. We've never taken up an offering in this church from 1992 to present. We've never taken up an offering for anything. Every bit of money we've ever taken has come in through that grace box at the back. But one of the things that we need to be appreciative of the fact, and I am, and I do try, the only time I try to express it, it seems, is at the annual meeting, but when I look out at you, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know how you do it. And you should be commended, because you're not giving to a church in hopes that we're going to have the, whatever your name is, annex one day put onto it, or that your contribution will be so noticed that we'll put a brass plaque on one of our chairs with your name on it. You know by now that what you give financially to this church, you're going to get pretty much what you're getting right now, but you're going to get more of it. You're going to get what I can give you as the highest and best quality and quantity of sonship edification possible that I can give you. But you're to be commended, every one of you. And not only you, this is something else you need to think about. Your labor in honor preferring one another can go outside this assembly. Do you realize that there are people you don't even know and have never met that are giving and contributing to this assembly over the internet? There's a guy up in Minnesota, I won't mention his name, he sends a contribution to me through the mail. I never open it. I just simply turn it over to Michael. And I don't know this guy from Adam. I've never talked to him. I've never corresponded with him. He's never written me an email. He just sends us something. And there's lots of people like that out there, some of which you've met, but they're remote. You met them at the sonship gathering. Those people are supporting this ministry. They're giving with simplicity. They're not just blindly doing this, but they understand the sonship reality of it and the doctrine that effectually works within them to do that. We have those who rule in this assembly. I don't think I've ever told Cecil really how much I appreciate him and what he's meant to this ministry. He has more administrative skill than any man I've ever met in my life. And this was an assembly that was woefully needing that at the time that he came here. We have two men on the board of deacons, Steve and Mark, who have been here, who cast the original votes for me to be the pastor of this assembly. Steve Young was on this board through one of the darkest times of this assembly, and happened that he was the chairman of the board at the time. And he and I went through some things together that none of you know about. And I can't tell you how much I admire and appreciate him. My mom and dad used to talk about his family and Michael's family as one of the most unusual families he'd ever met. They always use that term, they're the most unusual people I've ever met. I never asked him to define that. Michael came on. Mike is almost as long-standing a member as Steve and Mark and a couple of others here who've been here from the very beginning. Michael does a job that I don't think anybody would want. He's the treasurer of this assembly. And I've never been paid late, which I couldn't say up in Indiana. Usually I'd have to go to them and knock on their door and say, You haven't paid me in 2 or 3 weeks. Do you mind? I've had treasurers who would hold on to a check real tight, and I'd have to pull it out of their hand. But he pays bills in this assembly. He does an enormous amount of work in this assembly. The other members of the board of deacons that are here, Andrew and Eric, and who am I missing? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Eric developed our website. There's so many people that come over to it and they say it's one of the most eye-striking websites, but not only that, it actually works. It's user-friendly. Andrew works every week to keep it up, to put those classes on there and keep up with it all. But there's not a single person in this assembly who could not be commended by me because of the fact that you're supporting me. You've supported me and my family now for almost 20 years. And boy, have we come a long way, because we ain't what we used to be, that's for sure. But that's the kind of in honor. There's not a person that is being educated as a son in this assembly that you couldn't bestow honor upon, if nothing else than to catch them someday back there at that box when they put their contribution and pull them aside and say, I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing to support this assembly. And you're going to see to it that nobody is missed. And there are those who function in that office of showing mercy. There's a few who are great encouragers to me and show me some mercy once in a while. But again, I don't want to cross the line here too much. I'm trying to give you some examples from myself. But there's and we again, there's a field in which this whole labor can take place, not only with the actual physical members that are in our assembly, but there are also those on the internet whose zeal, whose enthusiasm, whose encouragement could go sky high by a little bit of that labor. And so that labor, we can actually put it up there now. You're going to be commending one another's labor in the office of their choosing when you are in honor preferring one another. That's the furtherance of that. That's why this little thing of putting these side by side was so important, because each one of 9B, 10A, and 10B, each one of the three aspects of godliness and loving kindness is a further issue of the three aspects of loving kindness of godliness and of selfless love. I didn't say that very well, but you know what I mean. So when it's in honor preferring one another, it's not just commending somebody for, I don't know, parking, not taking your parking spot out there or something. This is a furtherance of that person who is functioning in the office of their choosing as a son. And that's one of the critical aspects that governs how you're going to honor one another, in honor prefer one another. But that's what you're going to do. You're going to see to it that honor is bestowed upon them. And what you'll actually be doing is to verbally make mention of. You're going to tell them how appreciative you are that they're occupying that office. And the idea of in honor preferring one another in a body of a local assembly is that by that act, the whole assembly is going to be strengthened. This is by and large how you're going to be able to commend and them as a member who you back up there saw as useful, and you wanted to cooperate with them, and you naturally then began laboring in one of the offices your father gave so that you could serve and look out for their welfare. And then the natural outcome of that, or the furtherance of that, is in honor preferring one another. And there's a very critical aspect to this. This isn't just busy work, and it's just not to make somebody feel good. But this is actually to increase the productivity of the body. And by that act, a strengthening, an increase of the capacity of the body to grow into further and further operations of God come out of this thing. I'm going to illustrate that to you in just a moment. And when sons properly carry out their office, giving, ruling, showing mercy, when they carry out their office, loving kindness is going to seek to honor those sons. That's critical. When sons properly carry out their offices, loving kindness is going to come along and it's going to seek to honor those sons. That's why you need to stop and think. When's the last time you talked to, have you ever told one of the deacons how much you appreciate what they do? They do an awful lot. There's far more goes on behind the scenes in this assembly than you can imagine. If you've served as a deacon, you know there's always something going on. I'm high maintenance. I think I heard Cindy say amen, but that's what that strengthening that occurred here when the assembly is strengthened here gets further strengthened and greater capacity to grow and increase over here. By the way, when doing it this way, seeking to honor those who are sons who have chosen to give, to rule, to show mercy, to meet the practical needs of the local assembly, do you realize what I've just described is just the opposite of our carnal, fleshly, selfish desire to seek to be honored? I mean, look at the award shows on television. I mean, the whole issue is that the world, the course of this world, the natural men of this world seek honor. They seek accolades and recognition. But sons don't think like that. A son isn't seeking any recognition. He is seeking where he can bestow recognition. He's seeking where he can give honor, where he can bless, where he can speak well. They bestow honor. And that goes, by the way, that goes hand in hand with selfless love. Sons rather prefer another saint is on the receiving end of the honor he is himself bestowing. A son seeks the advancement of another saint as much as he seeks his own, because a son has the intelligent understanding and appreciation of what the labor in honor preferring one another will do. This isn't just a good idea to a son. This isn't just being nice. I'm full of niceness. In fact, if you really want to shock yourself, get yourself an Oxford English Dictionary or find someone who's got one and look up the very first most common definition of the word nice. And it means stupid. Check me out. This isn't being done out of niceness. This is being done by an intelligent sonship understanding of what's been going on here. And that son is using his intelligent sonship education to know why he's bestowing the honor, and not only why he's doing it, but the benefit and the profit of that to the whole assembly. So a son prefers another saint beyond the receiving end. He knows with intelligent sonship understanding what that will do when he in honor prefers one another, what that will get accomplished for the good and the benefit of the assembly as a whole. So your desire to labor this way is that you want to show one another that you respect, you appreciate them, and you want to show one another the esteem that you have for them and for why they're doing and what they're doing that comes along and meets the practical needs of the assembly. And the net result of that is that the whole assembly is going to be strengthened. There's going to be a tightening, a beginning to knit together, and the capacity for that assembly is increased. You see this, and I can remember my dad doing this. You take a stick, give a kid a stick, just say break it, he can break it. But you give a kid five or six sticks and bind them together, he can't break that. That's the idea behind the being knit together and strengthening coming out of that. And you appreciate that what they're doing is designed for the whole assembly to have its capacity grow and to go on and take on more and more of the operations of our Father in that local assembly. And by the way, there's no danger in doing this if it's done properly. And by what I mean by danger is as if the saint that you're going to bestow the honor upon is going to get fat-headed about it. This takes all the fat-headedness out. What did verse 3 say? Look at it if you can't remember it. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The fat-headedness, the high-mindedness has already been dealt with the selflessness. So there's no danger in you bestowing honor upon another son. There may be danger in doing that in another circumstance than the context in which you find it in your Bible, but not in that context, because that son who's going to be on the receiving end of the honor is going to have selflessness. And so he's not going to get big-headed about it. He's not going to come along and think that he's God's gift to the local assembly. He's going to think that you are, and you're going to think that he is. Because it's already been established in him that he's going to operate on selflessness. By the way, this is what I just described there is the exact opposite of what normally goes on in churches today. And whether you're aware of it or not, even assembly to assembly, there's enormous competitiveness among the pastor and the leaders of those churches. Who's the biggest? Who's got the most money? Pastor so-and-so, he's driving the Cadillac and I'm driving the Yugo. And that can't be. We need more money here. And there's every kind of ungodly, selfish, fleshly competitiveness that you can imagine goes on in the corporate world, in any world you want to name, goes on in the church world. Because it's not being governed by the living words of the living God living in them. That's why. That's why most of the time when you talk about love and selflessness and kindness and all of these things, all you're really talking about in most churches is people who have the world's idea of what it is moving into a church environment. But it's never been generated and created by their Father from the words on that page. That's the difference. Well, like I said, this is extremely critical. And I want to show you an illustration of this because this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing at the end of the book of Romans. That section, man, if you want to see something become alive to you that you've always read and it's just been kind of the dry end of a really good book. Don't you hate it when you're reading a great book and it ends just dry, it just blah. What kind of end was that? A lot of people treat Romans that way. Got all this great doctrine going on. Then Paul comes along here. Come over to the 16th chapter of Romans. And it's like, well, we don't really even need the 16th chapter because it's all this personal stuff going on. It is not. Once the end of chapter 15 does what it does, and by the way, Paul returns to some things in chapter 15, when we finish our sonship decision-making skills, and really our first level of sonship is almost completely over by that point, Paul returns to some things that he had brought up earlier in chapter 15, and he begins to build upon some things that began right here where that esprit de corps, where that zeal, where that enthusiasm actually, he engages you in a doctrine that has already begun to be developed in you, but we've kind of laid it aside for right now, but he's going to pick it back up in earnest there, and he's going to develop some things so that you have tremendous hope. In fact, you're going to look at your Father and you're going to say, he's the God of hope. And after he becomes that, then he's going to be the God of several other things. By the time you get to the end of verse 15, he'll be the God of consolation and peace. He's going to be several things to you there. But then you get to chapter 16, and it's almost like, oh, well, it kind of ends on a sour note. I mean, it's kind of a list of people. I can't even pronounce their names. I don't even know what's going on there. You know exactly what's going on there. Look and see if your apostle Paul isn't doing this very thing. He is doing verse 10b of chapter 12. Look at verse 1. I commend unto you. What's he doing? He's bestowing honor, preferring. And by the way, the ones that he mentions here aren't the ones at Rome. These are those other assemblies out there where little groups were meeting in homes and they were taking the sonship curriculum and they were being educated and edified as sons and daughters. Look at the first one as a woman. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. But notice what he says, which is a servant of the church which is in Synchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. You can't do that unless you got this. That ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath. By the way, I want you to see how many times business and labor issues come up here. That ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. That beautiful English expression, succor. She has helped. She has shown mercy with cheerfulness. She's labored. And Paul, that verses 1 and 2 is an expression of Paul in honor, preferring one another. He's bestowing honor upon Phoebe. He's giving these saints at Rome the walking, talking, put it in leather shoe illustration of what all that they just learned means. He goes on, look at verse 3. Greet, here's a husband and wife. This is a list, this is like the Medal of Honor recipient list. These are people, not only Paul, not only the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't wait to meet these people. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. Notice he didn't just say, greet Priscilla and Aquila, greet them, greet them, greet them. No, he adds information. It's the information he adds that's there, he's bestowing honor upon them. My helpers in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine just that much? If I was ever called Paul's helper in Christ Jesus? But notice, there's more information about Priscilla and Aquila, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Did you catch that? All the churches of the Gentiles, there's an effect that God has. Just as there's a tightening together and a coming together of a body in one assembly, that whole thing is now to start going out to other assemblies who are also sonship assemblies, and those other sonship assemblies can be benefited. And it's amazing what you gain now out of reading this in light of this. He says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Here's another woman. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Then he greets a couple of others here that are actually from the church of the remnant of Israel. In verse 7, and then he goes on in verse 8, Amplius, my beloved in the Lord, salute Urbane and her help, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that are of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. He goes on. What he goes down and does here is an amazing example of what Paul is doing when he is taking his own sonship status and life, and he puts into the written word of God the honor that he's going to bestow. Because you'll find, if you look carefully at what he describes there, you're going to find those things that he describes him doing matching up with some of these, with these offices. They're functioning, they're laboring. Man, that is a marvelous section of God's word, and it is so, Romans doesn't end on a ho-hum. Romans, it ends on an explosion, on a bang. It's a fantastic ending of this book. The only ones that would come along and say, I don't understand all this Bible. And you can see it I can see it. You can see it in the stupid commentaries I used to have. Chapters, big fat chapters on Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Little tiny chapter on 16. And then Paul greets everybody at the end. They didn't get a thing. This is an amazing way to end this book. And there's a lot to chapter 16. But it can't be appreciated unless sonship is appreciated, and that whole edifying that has been going on in its proper sense and sequence that makes it so that these stand out as great examples of exactly how Paul, our own apostle, can put his sonship life into practice in honor, preferring one another, and use his own godly, selfless, loving kindness to be able to advance these people. Can you imagine being on the receiving end of that? And then, to boot, not only do you get the circulation of the letter of the book of Romans, and you say, my name is in that. But at the end of Paul's life, the Apostle Paul is the first person to actually collect the 66 books of the Bible together, and the very first hands in which he put those 66 books was this little pastor named Timothy. And he walks out of those prisons where Paul is going to go off to the gallows to be beheaded, and Timothy walks out with a 66 book, full, complete, written word of God. And then to look at it and say, my name is there, I'm listed there. That's the kind of enthusiasm and zeal and encouragement that should come when you bestow honor upon another, in honor preferring one another. Now, with all that, do you see or have a better idea of when it comes to this issue of laboring with your father in honor preferring one another, just how it is that you're going to go about doing it? With selfless loving kindness, that once the assembly is laboring so as to stabilize it, we're not just giving because, well, we got to give because we got to support the past. But the giving now is seen as an office that I can occupy and labor in, or the ruling or the showing mercy. And you see that those offices being occupied and labored in out of godly, selfless loving kindness. Your response of labor type action of your selfless of the selfless loving kindness you now possess has you come along, and rather than giving that just shallow notice, or worse yet, no notice at all, which is usually the case, and rather than saying, well, look, it's no big deal, I'm doing the same thing, look at what I'm doing. No, you don't so what it. You come along and rather with loving kindness comes along and says, I highly value that. What you're doing, I highly value that. You're doing a good work. And by the way, what do you do to good? If you don't get this, I'm going to scream. You cleave to that which is good. You're doing a good work. And I'm sure there's going to be some times you're going to take somebody by surprise and they're almost like, whoa, good. Those are good surprises. But since you cleave to that which is good, you're going to make them aware of that. I so much appreciate what you're doing for the assembly, and I wanted you to know that. This isn't something that you want secret. You want them to know that because you know what that's going to do. That should produce in that individual saint not vain pride. They're not going to be proud. They're not going to be lifted up in vanity. But since they're a saint along with you, a member of your body, there's no danger in that. It's going to rather produce a sense of confidence in that saint. Zeal, that's what you want. If you don't have confident individuals in a combat unit, you're not going to have a very good unit. It starts with individual confidence, that they know what they're doing, that they can handle their weaponry, that they know which end of it to point, and they know who to point it at. And with that individual commendation comes unit cohesiveness, comes a very important issue about their confidence, their zeal, their enthusiasm, and a cementing takes place, or as you might say, a cementing. But a cementing takes place when that's done, so to speak. It cements in their, there's a cementing in their thinking, there's a cementing in their loyalty, in their dedication of being a member of that assembly. They're glad to be members of that assembly. And to be excited about where that assembly's going. That giving that goes into the box back there, that ruling that takes place among the various aspects of what needs to be ruled in the assembly, that showing mercy that is done in this local assembly. There's real understanding and excitement about where that's going, because that's all going toward our sonship education and edification to our training to be utilized by our Father in the heavenly places. From that comes a building up, a compacting, and a further strengthening process. But it's done, and I say this, don't let this just go right over your head. It's done in a godly way, a godlike way. It can be counterfeited. But this is done in a godly way. And you can express just how useful that son is or that daughter is to the assembly. You can cooperate with them. And nothing that they do is going to escape your notice. They're not unnoticed. And that and you're not doing this just to help their psychological bearing. But so many school systems, you know, you don't tell Johnny that he's wrong or he's going to be a mass murderer. He'll kill all the kids. He'll go postal on everybody. So if 2 and 2 is 7 to him, then that's fine. We'll pass. You can be president. No, it's not like that. It's understanding and appreciating intelligently that's being done. And the honor you're giving them, not letting something go unnoticed, is something that you and they both understand is going to build up the assembly, build them individually, build up the assembly. And that, they're, you know, really you can come along and make sure that they understand that they're a part of something unusual. You are. Every one of you in here, you're a part of something grand and rare on this earth. A sonship assembly. I like the sound of that. An assembly of sons. You're part of being educated and edified as sons to one day what you and I are going to be involved in is going to be one of the most magnificent aspects the human mind has ever gripped. We're going to take, Israel's going to, we'll just put a big old eye up here. Israel is going to liberate the earth. But you, sons, you're going to liberate the entire creature from its bondage of corruption. And when you come in here and you're involved in honor preferring one another, that's something that is encouraging to them. What you're doing in giving, in ruling, in showing mercy is grand, it's rare, it's unusual. That we are not just in a church, a local church for the sake of church, but that we're an assembly of sons being educated to one day be utilized by our Father to liberate the creature from its bondage of corruption. to be an active player out there, to be, to use the expression, one of the movers and shakers in the Father's creation. Having the privilege of bringing, we're going to bring our Heavenly Father's life, His functional life, to that creature out there. By the way, we're going to bring life to that creature that up until now has known nothing but vanity and misery and cruelness and deadness. Oh, you may look at through the Hubble telescope and you see those Hubble telescope pictures of outer space and you may be impressed with it and think that there's some kind of glorious place out there. But you are you're not only flat wrong, you're dead wrong. That place is under bondage, cruel corruption, and under the curse, and that thing is under sin's dominion right now. What you're looking at through a telescope is a mess. By comparison, I know it looks grand, and there's been a lot of songs written about the stars and all this kind of business, but the fact of the matter is that thing is a mess compared to what it's going to be one day. And if you think it's grand and glorious out there in that condition that it's in now, just wait until our Father and His sons get into that thing and go out there and go to into business together in it. Well, guess where that all starts? I took us all the way out there into outer space. It all starts right here, right now. Well, I just wanted to underscore that what we're doing here, because we've been taught what to think by our Father, and because that thinking generated a natural outlet for it into our conduct and our behavior, and from those two things, with those two things, our Father immediately gives us some work and labor to perform along with Him, I just want to underscore that what we're doing, again, is after a godly sort, a godly manner, like Him, not like this world. And they can look very similar at times, but they're from two entirely different places. In other words, the course and wisdom of this world does similar things. The men of this world bestow all kinds of honors upon one another, but usually it's done in a manipulative way or in a patronizing way, a condescending way. But since this is all built upon genuine godlikeness or godliness and the components of the sonship curriculum, here's a component, here's a component. Since it's being done that way, in other words, the very living words of the living God living in you, then in recognition of that saint's office labor that he's doing in the assembly, and you're coming along and in honor preferring him by telling him that you appreciate their labor, that we are all better off for it, that's not patronizing, and that's not manipulative. That's just the honest, kind response to their labor. And this serves to both the one bestowing the honor and the one receiving the honor. It generates godly esprit de corps. I'm going to end with this, but this is a big thing to end on. It centers all that zeal, enthusiasm, all that it centers upon the mutual cause. We have a mutual cause that we are all engaged in here in our local assembly. And I just talked about that cause and how great it is to know that in this dispensation of grace in which you and I live today, we're not at all interested, nor is God our Father interested in using us to establish His kingdom on this earth. But there is a realm in which Satan took usurped authority of, that from the time that God began writing His word in Genesis 1:1, all the way until the Apostle Paul penned the book of Romans, was never once spoken of in any part of the Bible. And it was the mystery of Christ, of how in the world is God ever going to repossess the heavenly places and take them back to himself? Well, he's going to do that with a new creature, a new man, the church, the body of Christ. Christ's first body will be on this earth in its resurrected form. He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he will also have another body in which he will be the head of, that is going to liberate the creature from the bondage of corruption, and that's where you come in. That's what I mean when I talk about the cause. And if you remember, and I don't know if you can or not, but I sure can, we talked at one point when we introduced sonship about the cause of it and how big that thing is to be able to pull the body together and to be able to tighten it up and knit it together, because we have a mutual cause that's our Father's. And if you're not aware of it, that's a rare thing. Even among Christians, it's a rare thing among Christian churches that everyone who walks in that door are united in the cause of being educated and trained to be used by their Father in the creature and liberate it from the bondage of corruption. That's rare on this earth, where among most churches, the only thing they're impressed with is the new pews. About the only thing they're impressed with is the new choir robes, or the new organ, or the successful bake sale. But they're almost never impressed with the cause for why their church even exists. And that's clearly seen if you've ever had to spend any time in one of those churches where I was talking to Cecil at the break, like pulling teeth to get them to do anything in the church. I have a neighbor. Poor guy is on the board of trustees or deacons. I can't remember which. I think he's a deacon in his local church. He can't get anybody to even mow the yard, and he's too old to mow it, but he does it. And he talks to me about it. I want to tell him, you can't believe our church. But usually it's like that. You always hear somebody in a church saying, I just can't get anybody to fill a Sunday school teacher position. Or the most hated position of all, Sunday school superintendent. Or even mowing the lawn or sweeping or whatever. We have ladies in this assembly, I can talk about them because they're not here today, who in their lifestyles, and I'm not saying this is any way detrimental to them, but I think it's so impressive, who in their lifestyles would almost have someone else cleaning their facilities, and they come in here and they put their gloves on, they glove up and go in there and dive into those restrooms and clean them. That's their bane, boy. That's their territory. And nobody asked them to do that. They did that of their own choice, their own determination. And all of us should tell them. When you get a chance to see Helen, you get a chance to see Katie, you ought to tell them. There's two people you could easily, in honor, prefer. It's just an amazing thing that gets into its proper slot biblically and after a godly manner as you, in honor, prefer one another. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. In that passage, then, I guess what we'll do is, since we're out of time today, we'll maybe begin next time. If there's any questions as to verse 9 and 10, then we just have to do one other thing before we move on to verse 11. You should know what that is. There's going to be a post-doctrinal exhortation. Not nearly as long as the last one, but we're going to remind ourselves of it nonetheless. But there's verse 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. All right? We'll take questions next time if you have them, or comments, but for now we'll close. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity of studying.